वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय पालयन्ति प्रजापाला यावद् अन्तं विभागशः यज्ञभागभुजो देवा ये च तत्रान्विताश्च तै पालयन्ति प्रजापाला word to word meaning palayanti execute the order prajapalaha the rulers of the world namely the sons and grandsons of Manu yavad antam unto the end of Manu's reign vibhagashah in divisions Yagya Bhaga Bhuja, the enjoyers of the result of Yagyas. Devaha, the demigods. Ye, others. Cha, also. Tatranvitaha, engaged in that business. Cha, also. Tai, by them. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada is confirmed Rajala Srila Prabhupada ki to enjoy the results of sacrifice, yagyas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam parampara praptam evam rajarsya vidu, this supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession and the saintly kings understood it in that way. This parampara system extends from Manu to Ikshvaku and from Ikshvaku to his sons and grandsons. The rulers of the world in the line of hierarchy execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the parampara system. Anyone interested in peaceful life must participate in this parampara system and perform yagyas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the Parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan Yajna all over the world. Yajna Sankirtana Prayajanti Sumedasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali, and he'll be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will also make people happy without a doubt. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manovistham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Svapadatikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhutananda Shri Madhar Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Okay, so this is a continuation of the previous verse. And the first word is Palayanti. And Srila Prabhupada translates Palayanti as execute the order. So, who has to execute the order? Prajapala. That means the sons and grandsons of Manu. And every devotee has different types of orders to execute. Everybody has different services. For them, the orders of Supreme Personality was to protect Dharma. That's what Acharyas write. Dharma Palayanti. They must protect Dharma because they are Prajapal. Praja means kingdom. They have to protect kingdom. And to protect kingdom, we should protect Dharma. Because those who protect Dharma, they will be protected by Dharma. Dharma Rakshati Rakshataha. And the same principle holds good for everything. In politics, those who live by sword shall die by sword. In society, as you sow, so shall you reap. In history, those who read history, they will find their names in the pages of history. And the same principle holds good for spirituality. Those who surrender to God, accordingly, he shall be rewarded. Yathamam prabhadyante, tam sathe vashamyam. We all know that verse of Bhagavad Gita. Those who surrender to Krishna without motive, Krishna will surrender to them by finding an opportunity to serve his devotees. By finding, more than that, by finding excuses to serve his devotees. Krishna is like that. That is why Jagannath has so big eyes. Not to find faults, but not to see faults, and to see even the insignificant service what we are offering to him. By his big eyes, large eyes, he is trying to find some service through which he can give credit to us, and through that credit he can give us mercy. That is why his name is Jagannath. He maintains the entire world by his mercy. But those who surrender to him with motive, and those who cheat Krishna, they'll be cheated by Krishna. And by Krishna will cheat them by hiding their devotional service, by hiding his devotional service from them. Those who think Krishna is light, to them Krishna will reveal as light and hide his personal form, beautiful form from them. Those who love Krishna, Krishna will love them by revealing his beautiful form, pastimes and name. And those who don't listen to his instruction, Krishna will not listen to their prayers and chanting. And those who reject him, Krishna rejects them by putting them in birth and death. Those who give him pleasure, Krishna gives bliss to their senses because he is the reservoir of bliss. And those who are impressed by his power, Krishna reveals to him as them as Narayan. Those who is impressed, not impressed, but those who are finding happiness in his sweetness, to them Krishna reveals as darling or Vrindavan, as their sweet lord. And those who put shame to him by not following his instructions, by being a hypocrite, Krishna puts shame to them by making them fall down. And those who glorify Krishna, Krishna takes a vow that I will make my devotee glorified all over the world. That's what is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took a vow to glorify Krishna, and Krishna took a vow, I will make Prabhupada famous all over the world. And that is what is, as you surrender, so shall you reap. Now, but the question here is, these sons and grandsons of Manu, they are trying to protect Dharma. But the question is, how long should they protect Dharma? What is the duration that they should execute the orders in order to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna? So, and that's the second line. Yavad antam vibhagashah. That's the second line. Sukadeva Goswami says, unto the end of Manu's reign. You can imagine Manu's life is how much? 72 yugas. Because one day of Brahma is 1000 yugas, 1000 cycles. And in one day of Brahma, 14 Manus come. So 1000 by 14, it comes around 72 yugas. One 72 yugas for 72 yugas. That means Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kaliyug, and we multiply by 72. Millions of years, they should protect Dharma. This is the duration Krishna demands from them. This is what is his service. You can imagine. This is how Krishna tests his devotees. How much they are patient in my service. We feel that Krishna is testing us. But from Krishna's perspective, he is giving us time to prepare ourselves to meet death. So Krishna doesn't like to test his devotees. He is merciful, we know. From our perspective, we feel he is testing us because we don't know him. From his perspective, he wants to handle his devotees very gently. That is why one of his name in Vishnu Sahasranam is Neta. He is called Neta. Neta means perfect leader. He knows how to lead his devotees to their final destination, to back to Godhead. And he'll do it gently because he knows if he tries to put force, we can back out. So he doesn't do that. A good leader doesn't do that. And he gives us time. From his perspective, he's giving us time. Okay, take time to develop qualities of tolerance and humility. Time helps us to develop these two qualities, humility and tolerance. Everybody knows. With time, we have to face so many circumstances. And Krishna wants us to develop patience with enthusiasm and humility with courage. That's what he wants us to become, the perfect person. And that is what Prabhupada says. Actually, if you read Prabhupada, it's a amazing definition of humility. We think humility is simply external conduct, but it's not like that. It is. But Prabhupada says humility means courage in one of his purport. Humility means courage. That's a nice meaning. Prabhupada says, I think in 1966, there's a lecture. I forgot where, but it was, I think, in November. As far as I remember the date. Prabhupada says there that Jesus Christ took so much risk for preaching. Prabhupada says, humility means taking risk for Krishna. That's humility. So how do we understand that? So many of God brothers of Prabhupada, Gaudiya Math, they thought Prabhupada is so proud. They were thinking like that. And many of his God brothers came to Mayapur to fight with him. Why are you calling yourself Prabhupada? You took title of your guru. And they were thinking Prabhupada is so proud and he's not humble. But we know, and Krishna knows, he was the most humble person on earth. And still he is. And he will be. Why? Because Prabhupada understood what is humility. Prabhupada knew what is humility. Humility means submission. Submission to what? Submission to absolute truth. And submission to absolute truth, submission to absolute truth, submission to knowledge means that anything favorable to that absolute truth, we are favorable to it. Anything opposed to that absolute truth, we are opposed. Anything which will injure that truth, we can't really take that. That is called submission. That is a good servant. Servant cannot see his master being injured. Who is a master? Spiritual master. But why a spiritual master is a master? Because he has surrendered to the instructions of Krishna. And that is why in Hari Bhakti Vilas there is a verse, Sanatana Goswami says, that above humans we have demigods, above demigods we have Guru, and above Guru we have instructions of Krishna. A Guru is Guru because he follows instructions of Krishna. If he doesn't follow instructions of Krishna, we have to reject him. That is also instruction of scriptures. So ultimately we owe our debt to the instructions of Lord. And we have to submit to that instructions. And to do that, we have to take all risk to preach those instructions. And that is humility. That's why Prabhupada says to take risk for Krishna, that is humility. That is the internal humility. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, there are three types of humility. One is materialistic humility. In one of his articles in Gaudiya's, he writes, materialistic humility, just like America. So when I came to America, it was nice, you know, people say thank you, welcome for everything. But that's all materialistic, it's all on bodily platform. It looks good, but it's superficial, it's materialistic. And then there is superficial humility, which is called kapardanya. External you are humble, but internally you have some motives. Just like many people come to ISKCON also for marriage, for America, for money, whatever it is, whatever they want. Many do, many not. But there is true humility, a kapardanya. And true humility is divided into two parts, external and internal. And external humility is marked by gentleman behavior, by etiquettes, proper words, proper actions, proper deeds, respect. And internal humility is marked by courage to preach message of Krishna. And also abandoning sense gratification. That is humility. Prabhupada said in one of his purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as far as I remember, I think it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Prabhupada said, to the degree we are free from sense gratification, to that degree we are humble. You should always remember. So if we externally humble and internally we have sense enjoying propensity, we are not truly humble. We are superficially humble. That's not a good idea. Because if we really understand that we are useless, if we really understand we are insignificant, then everything belongs to Krishna. We are not supposed to enjoy that. If suppose you go to your house, yeah, America you don't have servants, but in India we have servants. If you go to your house, your servant is there, and your servant is sitting on your sofa, bed, and from your fridge he took all the pizzas. He's watching television and he's enjoying. And you come find him and you say, what's happening? He said, oh, my dear master, you have everything to me. I owe everything to you. But first let me finish your pizza. This is crazy. It's madness. So similarly, this is house of Krishna. Vasudeve kutumbhikam. We know. Isha vashamidam sarvam. And if we are true servant, we will not enjoy his property. That is humility. That is a true mark of humility. That is why many people didn't think Bhakti Siddhanta was truly humble. In fact, all Vrindavan was criticizing, they were criticizing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally went to Calcutta and he was personally making his own house in Calcutta. What's that called? Bhavan? What's that? I forgot that. Bhavan, his name. But the house he was making. And he was making with quite enthusiasm. It was a big house and nice. And people were thinking, what he's doing? He left Mayapur. He left his bhajan. And he's making his house. And it's a big palace at that time he was trying to make. People are thinking, he's mad. What he's doing? And same with Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta was going in car and boots and coat and pant in Vrindavan, in Radhakund, the place of supreme renunciation. And Bhakti Siddhanta is coming in his car at that time cars means you are royal, and he's coming there in Radhakund, and everybody is saying, what's happening, what's he doing, is he, he's proud, he's so much proud. And same with Srila Prabhupada, people couldn't understand. People who were at Radhakund in Gaudiya Math, and whoever they were in Calcutta, they didn't have eyes to see the internal humility. No, Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada, they didn't have a trace of sense gratification. And that is why they were truly humble. And people who follow, people who are free from sense gratification, they can understand what is true humility. And that is why, oh, this went off. And that is why Krishna gives us time. Okay, take your time. Take your time to prepare yourself. Take your time to understand humility. In the beginning, we will focus on external humility. That's okay. Take your time to internalize that. Take your time to become patient and prepare yourself and purify yourself. That's what Krishna feels when he gives us time. And this is the meaning of, you know what? This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. This word Krishna consciousness is coming from the book of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, there's a book, Padyavali. And Prabhupada takes this word, Krishna Bhavana Amrit Sangh, this is the Hindi term, from that book, Prabhupada's book. And in that book, there's a meaning of this word Krishna consciousness. Now what that word means, Krishna consciousness? There's one meaning of this is, to be conscious of Krishna. That's okay. But there's another meaning to it. This is 50% meaning. To be conscious of Krishna. Another meaning is that Krishna is conscious of you. That's also the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is conscious of us. When we will become conscious of Krishna, Krishna will become conscious of us. And Srila Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, I don't know where, but I can't give exact date, but I think it's 1974, exact, I forgot where. But Prabhupada says, I think it was in America, Prabhupada says, when you can think as Krishna thinks, that is a perfection of devotion. So Krishna consciousness also means that when you're conscious that Krishna is conscious of you, that is the perfection of devotion, that is love. And that is said by Vallabhacharya, that is said by Madhvacharya. All acharyas give the same conclusion. Prabhupada understands. Prabhupada understood what is the conclusion of devotion. When we can be conscious that Krishna is conscious of me. These are three meanings of Krishna consciousness. Let's start from being conscious of Krishna. Slowly, Krishna will become conscious of us. Krishna will start thinking of us with love. Now Krishna is thinking of us with judgment. He judges us. But when we'll please him, he'll think of us with love. That is what we want. And slowly we will understand, we will always remember that Krishna is conscious of me. We can always remember Krishna is seeing me. Krishna is thinking about me. And that is what is perfection of human life. How do we know that Krishna is thinking about us? He will not speak to us. My dear devotee, I'm thinking about you. He doesn't speak to us. But he gives a sign that he's thinking about us. And there are three signs of it. And the first sign, when Krishna starts thinking about you, Bhagavatam says, Janyati Ashu Vairagyam. You get detachment. Detachment. Nobody can become detached from this world until unless Krishna wants. It's impossible. So when Krishna thinks about us, Krishna thinks, oh, this devotee is so nice. He's doing so nice service. Let him not be attracted by this material world. Let him be attracted by me. That's the first sign. And the second sign is we develop wisdom. Krishna gives us wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge we get from scriptures. Wisdom we get from Krishna. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? At the level of knowledge, we will fall trap to contradictions. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of his purport, if we don't attain mercy of Krishna, we will be confused. We will fall into contradictions. What is that purport? I forgot that. I think it's in Madhya Lila, one of the purport of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is genius. Prabhupada knows. Actually, we read commentaries of acharyas. and then we can come back to Prabhupada purports, we can really understand how Prabhupada is writing everything in his books, but in simple language. That was his beauty. Fools make simple things complex. Genius make complex things simple. It's difficult to make complex simple. To make simple complex is very easy. It's very easy. And that's why Prabhupada was genius. But we should know how to get that thing out of Prabhupada's book. So Prabhupada says there, if we don't have mercy of Krishna, we'll be confused. We'll be in contradiction. We'll face contradiction. But if we have mercy of Krishna, Krishna will give us wisdom to harmonize all those contradictions very easily. And then we can advance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his books, Gaudiya article, people who are irreligious, they criticize those who are religious. People who are religious, they criticize those who are devotees. People who are devotees, mundane devotees, they criticize those who follow Vedic Bhakti. People who are following Vedic Bhakti, they criticize those who are following Raghunanga Bhakti. And people who are at Raghunanga Bhakti, they are free from all criticizing propensity. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So, as you go higher in levels of devotion, things change. It changes. Instructions, wisdom change. We will face contradictions when we go higher. And we must face it. And we must have the signs to harmonize that. And that is why there's a term in Sanskrit, adhikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes that verse in Bhajan Rahasya. Adhikar na labhya, adhikar na labhya, siddhya bhav, viparyaya buddhi janme, shakti ra bhav. If we don't have mercy of Krishna, without eligibility, we will be confused. Because the rules at the level of Vedic Bhakti will change when you go at the level of Raghunanga Bhakti. It will change. It changes. It always happens like that. So that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Such a nice meaning. So that is the second mercy. That is the second thing what will happen when Krishna will think of us. We'll have wisdom. And the third thing, Krishna will give a sign that he's thinking of us by giving us bliss. That's all. He'll give us bliss in devotion. Bliss with satisfaction. Because we can also have bliss with sensual enjoyment. We also get bliss in matter. But that bliss doesn't lead to satisfaction. That bliss leads to frustration. And spiritual bliss will lead to satisfaction and peace. That's how we distinguish between material happiness and spiritual happiness. And we all feel that. We all feel that. We become peaceful after spiritual happiness. Okay. And you know this purport of Prabhupada is, if you read this purport, Prabhupada is raising the point of parampara in this purport. We all read that. Now, no acharya in their commentary, they raise this point of parampara. No acharya. Sridhar Swami, Shiva, Vishwanath, nobody is raising point of parampara. And I was thinking, why Prabhupada is raising this point of parampara here in his purport? His entire purport is devoted to parampara. And that's how we can know Prabhupada is genius. Prabhupada understood that this verse says that Krishna ordered the grandsons and sons of Manu to protect dharma, and the only way to protect dharma is to protect parampara, because nobody is going to live that long till the age of Manu. 72 yugas, no grandson and sons are going to live. If you're not supposed to live so long, then what do? How do you protect dharma? You protect the parampara. Is it? You protect the disciplic succession. That's how you protect it. So protecting parampara means protecting dharma. And how do you do that? You do it simple. By protecting dharma, you protect parampara. It goes both ways. If you protect dharma, parampara, you protect dharma. Religion, if you protect religion, religious principles, you protect parampara. And that's why it is very important that in our parampara, we safeguard ourselves from deviation. Because if deviations come, we lose parampara, we lose dharma. And that is what is the order to all these sons and grandsons of Bhanu. The order is not really to protect Dharma. The order is to protect their displaced succession. That's what kings were doing. So if you read Chinese history, it's all to do with Parampara and Dharma. That's all. Kings were representative of gods. In Vedic history also, Vedic religion was like that. And they were interested that this knowledge passes from one person to another as it is. That is why Prabhupada is starting this purport with Evam Parampara Praptam. Prabhupada is linking this Palayanti word with Parampara. How to maintain Dharma? Maintain Dharma by maintaining Parampara. And that's why Prabhupada's insight in this purport is absolute genius. If you read all commentaries of Acharyas, you might not relate with them. But Prabhupada is taking all those commentaries and giving us those ideas in a way we can understand, and even more than that, his own realization, his own insight, his own practical tips. The practical tip to protect Dharma is to protect Parampara, that's all. Now the another question is, why should they protect Dharma? The sons and grandsons of Manu can think, why should I protect Dharma? And the answer to this is in third line, Yagya Bhag Bhujo. Why should they protect Dharma? To enjoy the results of sacrifice, Prabhupada says. Yagya Bhag Bhujo. Yagya Bhag means to enjoy the Bhag. Bhag means the results of those sacrifices. But the question here is, are these sons and grandsons enjoyers? Prabhupada says, to enjoy the results of sacrifice, the rulers of the world discharge orders of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This seems, by this statement it seems, that they are sense gratifier. And people who indulge in sense gratification, they cannot protect Dharma. Because, yesterday I told, the first principle of Dharma is to leave sense gratification. That's the idea. Anywhere we have sense gratification, there is irreligion. So it seems contradictory, no? It is contradictory. On one side, Prabhupada writes, to enjoy the results of sacrifice, they are following orders of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we don't do that, no? To enjoy the results, we don't follow the orders. Then why these people are doing? Are these people, sons and grandsons of Manu, not so intelligent as we are? Of course they should be. They are far more intelligent than us. So why does Prabhupada say this? And there is a secret to it. You know why? You see, when a cook cooks something to offer it to Krishna, after cooking, of course, he doesn't taste it like this. But by his experience, by his smell of the food, and by his experience, he can understand its taste, you know. And then he offers this to Krishna. Or if some guest comes to our house, and we make something for him, and we offer to Krishna, and then we take out offering, and then we taste, you know, whether it's okay or not. In normal people, they taste, it's looking, tasting good, and then they offer to the guest. Is it? So, to give Krishna, to give, why these people are enjoying the results of sacrifice, they are enjoying means not sense gratification. Enjoying means they want to experience the results of sacrifice to give them to others. Not experience to take it. They are not experiencing it for sense gratification. That's the idea. This is a secret of devotional service. We want to experience enjoyment, to give enjoyment to devotees and Krishna. That's right. No, isn't it? Suppose we do kirtan. If we want to give enjoyment to devotees, first we should know that it is enjoyable. Otherwise, how we can give enjoyment to others? So we have to do nice kirtans. We have to enjoy that. And if we enjoy, then others can enjoy. But we are enjoying to give enjoyment to others, and not to really take that enjoyment. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. This is the secret of devotional life, which jnanis and yogis cannot understand. They become mad. When Vivekananda, you know Vivekananda? Everybody knows. When Vivekananda went to, when he took a tour of India, he went to all the temples, Srirangam, and he saw devotees. He saw, my God, they are enjoying. These are foolish people. He couldn't really understand what's happening. And we know that secret. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, that verse is there. Atma vasair vidhe atma prasadam adhigacchati. Krishna says, my devotees enjoy in my service to give me enjoyment. To give enjoyment to my devotees. For example, okay, I'll give you an example. Suppose if you want to serve a businessman nicely, you should know how to do business, no? Otherwise, how do you serve him? You can't serve him properly. If you want to serve Prabhupada, so many servants, they should be trained. They should understand what is his mood. If you want to serve Radha, you should understand what is her mood. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, our goal of life is love of Krishna. Why do we want love? Why do we want love? For the sake of love? No. We want love of Krishna to serve the embodiment of love, that is Sri Radha. Because if we don't have experience of love, we will not be able to serve Srimati Radharani, who is embodiment of love. We will not be able to relate with her. So we don't want love for our own sense gratification. That's the idea. It is for serving love. We want love. It is for serving, it is for giving enjoyment to devotees. We enjoy in devotion. That is the trick of not falling trapped to sense gratification. Just like we were having that question yesterday of prasad. We feel taste of prasad. Of course we feel taste. But why do we taste prasad? Oh, it's got to be nice. So that devotees have the pleasure of having the taste of prasad, no? But if your taste buds are not working properly, you can't cook. How do you cook? You don't have a taste of prasad. You can't make tasty things. So, that's the idea here. These sons and grandsons are not enjoyers. But they want to enjoy in the service of God to give enjoyment to others. To distribute it. Money decreases by distribution. Knowledge increases by distribution. If you distribute, it will increase. That's the idea. And then, this is gone. Anyway. So then, but there's another question here. His sons and grandsons, they are in service of Lord. Their whole idea is to give enjoyment to their subjects, to people. They are in his service. Question is, what is the benefit of protecting dharma? Next question comes. What personal benefit they get by protecting dharma? That is why the fourth line Sukhdeva Goswami is using. Deva ye cha tatran vitas chatai. The benefit of protecting dharma is not just that dharma will protect you. It is that saints and demigods will also start protecting you. You will have their blessings. That is the idea. If you protect dharma, everyone protects you. Automatically. Automatically you get blessings of all the demigods. That is why this verse uses the word Deva. Deva. Devas are also engaged in fulfilling the orders of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whoever fulfills the order of Supreme Personality, they bless them. And what happens by the blessings of saints and demigods? Sons and grandsons knew. They are their sons of Manu. They knew. If we get blessings of demigods and saints, Prabhupada says here, we can get supreme peace and satisfaction. And the definition of satisfaction of jnanis and yogis is liberation. The definition of materialistic people as far as satisfaction is concerned is enjoyment. But for devotees, satisfaction means being unsatisfied in the service of Lord. That is our definition. So, we find satisfaction in being unsatisfied in the service of Lord. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. That is why jnanis cannot understand what is devotion. Everything is so contradictory here. And why it's contradictory? Because Krishna is contradictory. The most important quality of Krishna. Krishna is full of so many qualities. He's genius. He's compassionate. And it is said he is merciful, he is also very, very hard. He is tolerant, but also he is intolerant. Rupa Goswami says. He is soft, he is hard. He walks, he doesn't walk. He is Upanishad. Tad ijjati, tad na ijjati. He sees, he doesn't see. And Vallabhacharya says, the most, all acharyas, all Vaishnava acharyas, they are unanimous in that. The most important quality of God is virudh dharma ashray. He is reservoir of contradictory qualities. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this word, achintya bheda bheda tattva. Our philosophy is achintya bheda bheda tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. But inconceivable doesn't mean that you can't conceive God. That's not the meaning of that. Inconceivable means you can conceive who is Krishna, but you'll not be able to adjust him in your mind because there's contradictions. So it's not that you can't think about him anything. You can think, but you'll not be able to adjust him in your tiny mind. There's so many contradictions. That's why Mahaprabhu uses this word achintya. Achintya. And then he says bhed abhed. Krishna is a reservoir of all contradictory qualities, and his devotees, they also become reservoir of all contradictory qualities. Prabhupada, all contradictions. Prabhupada was so courageous, yet people who were with him, they found him so gentle and so humble. How is it? But outside, he was like a lion, and people who were outside, they were telling, so many people came to Bombay, so there were some Gujaratis who came to Juhu. Prabhupada was giving lecture. Prabhupada and there were some reporters. They told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, fine. So why should we accept Krishna as God? You have to prove to us." Prabhupada told, "No proof. First accept, then I'll prove." And then those reporters were saying, "This is not logical. We don't accept this. First you prove, then we'll accept." No, Prabhupada told, "No. First accept, then I'll prove." And then those reporters got up. They told, "This Prabhupada doesn't know Krishna." And he's not pure devotee. This is went off. And we're thinking Prabhupada is in his own mind, you know. But devotees know Prabhupada was very gentle. Who were with him, who interacted with him. Prabhupada had all contradictory qualities. Prabhupada, that is what a saint is. Anybody who comes in contact with Krishna, he becomes like Krishna. Not in quantity, but in quality. That's what Krishna says. He attains to my nature, Krishna says in Gita. So, Prabhupada was so genius. He knew everything. His god brothers, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Keshav Pragya Maharaj, they were known for, they were very scholarly at that time. People knew. Oh, Sundar Ananda Vidya Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta's right hand. Anand Vasudev, Bhakti Siddhanta's left hand. They knew Sanskrit, they knew all Shastras. They were very scholarly. What about Prabhupada? And they wrote books, and it was very scholarly, Sanskrit analyzed and everything. Prabhupada came, Prabhupada wrote books, and so simple he presented. That's contradiction. He knew much more than his godbrothers. He knew Sanskrit. And that is why his godbrothers conferred that title on him, Bhakti Vedanta. It was not him. They gave him, they were impressed by his scholarliness. And in his books, he didn't really explicitly show his scholarliness. He could have done it. Okay, this word means this. This Sanskrit word comes by this word root. And this, he could have done this, Prabhupada. But he knew, as Acharya, it should be presented in a way which people can understand, follow, simple, at the same time deep. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. And Prabhupada knew this. So saints are like that. So, that is what is our definition of satisfaction. So when we get blessings of saints and Krishna, we will understand this contradictory nature of Krishna. And we will imbibe that contradictory nature. And when we will imbibe that contradictory nature, then Krishna will be happy, because Krishna likes contradiction. Krishna likes that. Krishna doesn't like simple things. He's crooked, no? He's crooked. He doesn't stand straight also. If you pray to him, Krishna, please engage me in a service. That's nice. But Krishna wants something else. He is Rasik Shekhar. He wants to enjoy. He wants enjoyment. And we should be expert in giving enjoyment. That's what is our service. So we say, Krishna, engage me in our service. Perfect. That's the prayer we should really should do. But can you make it more, can you embellish it? Krishna will say, I want more enjoyment. Krishna is the supreme bhogi. We know this, no? We know this. We can't beat him like that. And he wants enjoyment. Prabhupada says in one of his purports, we should serve Krishna in all respects. We should give enjoyment to Krishna in all respects, not in just one dimension. And Krishna says, can you embellish your player? Then devotee says, yes, yes, if you're trained, you can do. You say, Krishna, engage me in your service. Okay, I want to embellish it. How? Krishna, engage me in your service, use me and throw me away. And I'll be happy in that. Don't keep me with you. I'm useless. I'll make nuisance with you, at least as far as I know myself now. So use me, fulfill your purpose, and throw me away. That's what I want. Krishna. Then Krishna becomes happy. Okay, now you're qualified to be with me. That's all. If we pray to Krishna like that. Gopis were praying like that. Krishna uses, throw me away. Chaitanya Prabhu was playing. Ashleshava Padratam Pinastumam. That's a prayer. Krishna, use me or trample me, but always engage me in your service. That's what Mahaprabhu's prayer. So that's what gopis are playing. And Krishna becomes happy. Okay, good. And this technically is called Parokshavad. This is called Parokshavad. Being expert to give enjoyment to Krishna. And this is what gives satisfaction to the devotees of Lord. And here you fulfill the purpose of human life. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We have 5 minutes. Is there any question? And any comments, any suggestions? Yes, bro. I can't understand the word. Neta, neta, neta. Yeah, neta is a word found in Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu, 1000 names of Vishnu is the name of Krishna, neta. Neta means leader.
The principle of enjoyment is there if it's not accepted for oneself, but it meant to be distributed.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's enjoyment.
Yeah, then there's enjoyment.
Otherwise, it's self-centered or selfish.
Otherwise, sense gratification. Otherwise, it's sense gratification.
Otherwise, it's sense gratification.
So, Prabhupada says, you have to enjoy with Krishna. Prabhupada says in his books, enjoy with Krishna. But what that means? We have to enjoy with Krishna, not to take enjoyment, but to give enjoyment to devotees.
But in that giving...
But the principle of enjoyment will be there.
Yes.
We can't get rid of it.
Okay.
It's there with us. We can't get rid of it. But how to... engage that principle of enjoyment in service, that is a secret. That's devotion, art of devotion.
Through giving to others.
Yeah.
Spreading.
Yeah, spreading.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So if there's no questions, thank you very much for listening to me. And of course, I learned from you all because you're all senior and you're so humble to listen to me. That's why, yeah.
Oh yeah, his books are available outside.
Yeah, I have these books outside.
Yeah.
And this book I have written, whatever I was speaking and I have to speak and tell, I have written many points in this Mighty Efforts, this book. All the teachings of Prabhupada and Acharyas. You can have this. You have some other books, you can have a look. Then again, thank you very much for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening. They're outside. Let's go outside. This
Oh, yes.